beginning this brand new series today called The End Commandments. And if you know me, one of the things you know is that I grew up in Texas. And because of that, I am a huge Cowboys fan from my earliest memory. And so, that's right. I have been a Cowboys fan. And so, if you're a Cowboys fan, one of the things you have in common, if you're a fan of any other team, you're wrong. But if you're a Cowboys fan, one of the things we have in common is you're worried. Like, I'm worried. Every year there seems to be this buildup where Jerry Jones, he's delusional, but where Jerry Jones tells us it's going to be a great season, we're going to win it all, this is the year, and I wish he would fire himself, but he owns the team, and I don't think he'll do that. But we don't know what's going to happen when Romo comes back. We don't know if Dez comes back, how he's going to do. We don't know if it's too late. It's already all over, and we've been through this cycle for over 20 years now. And so, if you're a Cowboys fan, you're used to worry. We are worried and we are stressed out. In this series, so this morning as we start, I'm really talking to myself and you just kind of get to listen. And if some of it applies to you, that's awesome. There's some takeaways for you maybe. But I'm going to be speaking to me because there are a lot of things that Jesus said. And we drift toward the things that are comfortable and the things that we like. Like when he told us, I came to give you life to the full, that feels good, and so we drift toward that. When he said, I give you my peace, that's awesome, and we want that. But then there are some things that Jesus said that are hard. He said some hard things. And there are a few things he said that feel impossible. And so in this series, we're going to tackle some of those things that Jesus taught, some commands he gave us, some commandments that really feel impossible to wrap our minds around. That's why we've called it the N Commandments. And this morning, we're starting with a simple one, worry not. It's actually not that simple. I think worry, even if you're not a Cowboys fan, worry is something that plagues all of us. Think about how many times a day you worry, how many times an hour. I mean, worry is something that can come into your life and haunt you. It can tear you up. And Jesus had the audacity to say, worry not. So what does that look like? How do we accomplish that? It's in his most famous sermon. In fact, it was early in his ministry where he lays out this teaching because he knew even then that humanity for all generations would be plagued with worry. You think about your own life. What are the things that you worry the most about? So he says, therefore I tell you, do not worry. So could I just ask you a few questions about worry? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to anyone's life? Who of you by worrying have probably taken a year off of your life? Who of you by worrying is driving people in your life out of their flipping minds? Do you know anybody that is just consumed with worry? Everything that happens in life is an opportunity to worry more. Who of you by worrying has upgraded your wardrobe or reduced your bills? How's worry working for you? Who of you by worrying has added value to what you value most? See, if you step back and think about it, worrying hasn't done anything for you. And yet, we worry. Some people are consumed with worry. And it's not that what you're facing and what you're dealing with and your struggles are not valid. Those are very real things. But you're in this pattern where you expend energy and focus and time on worrying, and it's never in your life paid off. What it has done is it's robbed you of joy, and it's taken away the fullness of life that you could be living. It has probably had a more negative impact on you than you even realize. And so, why do we worry? It's simple. It's our habit. It's what we begin doing early in life, and we just carry it through. And now when something happens, you don't even have to consider, hey, what are my options here? Well, worry's one of them. I'm going to do that. You just go to the place of worry. It's what your default position is. It's not even that you want to. It's just like breathing. You just, bad stuff happens. You're facing a crisis or the unknown, some kind of uncertainty, and worry is just what you do. You don't even think about it. You just go there. So you know it doesn't work, but you've trained yourself to just repeat this habit and pattern over and over and over again. But Jesus says, do not worry. Hashtag don't hurry to worry. Don't let that happen in your life. He says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. Because ultimately, whatever you're worried about, your life is bigger. If you're worried about the potential surgery, if you're worried about what's happening in your marriage, if you're worried about something going on with one of your kids, if you're worried about your bills and your income and how all that's going to work, what you do when you worry, what I do when I worry, is we shrink all of our lives and the fullness of it to that one or two issues. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Have you ever noticed worry is always about the future? It's always about tomorrow. Worry is always about tomorrow. It always lives at the address of today, but it's always about tomorrow. He says, is life not more than food and the body more than clothes? He talks about that in their culture because that's what they worried about. They would look at our culture. We clearly don't worry about food. Just look around. We don't worry about clothes. I mean, goodwill. We give more clothes away than they ever had. So they would look at our culture and think, maybe you have nothing to worry about, but you do. You have aging parents and you're not sure how you're going to deal with what's going on with them. Your child is facing some things that maybe you can't control or you can't fix, and it's weighing on you. Your finances, the pressure is mounting. It's not that these things are not real. It's not that Jesus is saying, I want you to live in a fantasy land where you pretend there are no issues. What he's saying is stop living in the fantasy land where you pretend worry is going to change any of it. And then he makes this statement, look at the birds of the air. That's boring, only old people do that. Look at the birds of the air, go bird watching. Now, we read this verse and it's kind of like, what is that, who cares? But you have to remember he was outside. And so probably at this point in the teaching, some birds are flying overhead and he says, look at the birds of the air. And they all look up, and it's easy to think, man, they seem so carefree. They're just flying. How nice it would be to be a bird. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Now, what he's not saying here is, live a life where nothing matters and you have no ambition or drive and you don't want to address any of the issues that need to be addressed in your life. Don't worry about sowing and reaping. He's not saying that. He's not saying live a carefree life where you live in denial and ignore some realities that you're going to have to deal with. He's not saying that. When he says, look at the birds of the air, they do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them, he's stressing the point that you and I, as human beings, have been given a gift that no other creature has been given. We have the choice, the opportunity as we look into the future to decide how we're going to behave, think, and act based on what we know about life. No other creature has the ability to look into tomorrow and decide what they're going to do about it. Some creatures are pre-programmed like ants. They just do what they do and they multiply by tens of thousands every day. They just do what they do. It's not that they're thinking about their future. It's just they're programmed that way. But you and I as human beings have the opportunity, we're the only ones that have been given this gift, to look into tomorrow and to sow and to reap, to make some choices today where there will be benefit tomorrow. You pay your bills on time, there's benefit tomorrow. You eat healthy, there's benefit tomorrow. Well, it takes about 6 months. But there are benefits as you look into your tomorrow. You and I have been given a gift. And many of the things we worry about, we could do something about. But there are those things that we worry about that we can't. But he's saying, hey, step back and recognize if God takes care of those who don't have that ability, if he feeds them, and you are so much more valuable, and he's given you the ability to think and to process and to live on purpose and look into the future and make decisions about how you treat your spouse and how you'll raise your kids and how you'll manage your money. He gives you the opportunity. There are things you cannot control, but there are some things you can control. You've been given a gift. Are you not much more valuable than they? And then this question. This question is worth you thinking about. It's worth me thinking about. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? What he's saying is, it's not that what you're facing isn't real. It's that how you're processing it and choosing to deal with it isn't helpful. You spend so much energy emotionally and so much focus, and you give so much attention, and the stress builds in your life. And because you're worrying so much and living stressed out, it impacts your marriage, it affects your home. You think your kids don't sense that atmosphere? It's affecting your life. It is crippling you in a sense. See, there's a difference in being concerned about things and worrying about things. There's a difference because when I'm concerned about something, I can go to God and say, God, I'm asking you to deal with this. I'm giving this to you, and I may have to do that 50,000 times a day. Worry is where what I'm feeling and what I'm thinking and how I'm thinking is almost debilitating. Worry is when what those things are, fill in the blank, controls you. And can you add even a single hour of your life to your life by worrying? And why do we worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They don't labor or spin. They don't sow and reap. They don't do anything, but God takes care of them. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. Solomon was the wealthiest man, the wisest man that ever lived. And even with his bad-to-the-bone wardrobe, he was not as good-looking as what God creates in the fields for flowers that don't sow or reap. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow, is thrown into the fire. And he's about to give us the bottom line. He's about to address why we worry. He's about to give the entire foundational point of what he's saying. Because when Jesus said, I came to give you life to the full, it did not include a life driven by, consumed with worry. And so he gives it to us right here. It's here today and tomorrow, thrown into the fire. Will he not much more clothe you? Your struggle is not that you worry. Your struggle is that you're not sure God will take care of you. Life has taught you and maybe screamed through certain examples that you've walked through in life, certain seasons and things that have happened to you. You look at other people who walk through struggle, and you've decided because of how you feel and what you face, and how out of control certain things are, you've decided you're just not sure if God will take care of you. So he says all these things, and then he says, you of little faith. Now, what's interesting about that phrase is Matthew is writing this down, and he's writing it in the Greek language, but Jesus spoke in the Aramaic language. And this is one of those occasions when, if you speak different languages or know different languages, what is being spoken in that language, it's difficult in the language you're writing in to really put the full thought together. And so right here at this point, you have little faith, he actually puts two Greek words together that you don't find together anywhere else in the Scriptures in the New Testament. In fact, in all of the Greek writings we have throughout history, not just the Bible, you don't find the two Greek words that he puts together anywhere else. It's just right here. And so a deeper meaning, when Jesus says he's been teaching about the majesty of God and how great God is and how much God loves and cares for and takes care of the birds in the air, the flowers, even the grass, not the kind you smoke, the kind you mow, even the grass, God takes care of all of that. He's amazing. The creation, each day that we walk into, there's this beautiful creation that God has set up for us to enjoy. God is that big. God is that good. He thought about your every day, to the point that even flowers smell good. And yet we struggle with trusting him. So when he says, you have little faith, what he's saying at the end of that is, you little faithers, you. And I think they did exactly what you did. I think they laughed. Because it wasn't out of judgment. It was out of compassion. You're missing so much of life because you have been invited by God to call him Father. And he's taking care of all of these details. Why would you not think he would also take care of you? You little faithers, you. So do not worry saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? Don't worry about those things. Don't worry about the things in this culture, in this day. Don't worry about it. You're expending energy and focus that is a waste of time. It impacts and affects nothing. There are only negative outcomes from worrying. There are no positive. For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Now, when he says pagans, he's not being mean. He's not using that as a derogatory term. What he's saying when he says pagans is everybody else. And everybody else, people that don't call God Father, people that don't have a life of faith, people that aren't pursuing God, people that don't know that God loves them, everybody else, people that don't understand that creation was given to us by God as a gift for us to enjoy, people that don't know that stuff, everybody else run after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. What you worry about the most, he knows. And he knows what you need. You are not alone because your worry will lie to you. So you get to decide for you. Nobody can make you. And ultimately, it's your responsibility. You get to decide for you. Will you spend your life bowing to and being subject to your feelings? Or will you build a life based on truth and faith in spite of how you may feel? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them, but seek first. Now, this is fascinating to me. Because in the Greek language, these two phrases, run after and seek first, are the exact same phrase. So this could be said for the pagans, everybody else, seek first all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But run after, chase after. Here's what Jesus is doing. He's saying you have a choice. Worrying is not going to benefit you. It's not going to build anything into your life other than stress. It's going to impact you in a negative way. I'm going to give you another option. If you're here this morning and you're a follower of Christ, you need to know that Jesus is about to break down another option, what you can do instead of worrying. If you're here this morning and you're not a follower of Christ, what we're about to look at, in my opinion, is reason enough to give your life to Christ. Even with the other questions and the other things you may or may not understand, this one thing is big enough and bad enough and bold enough from Jesus for you and for me. This is reason enough to commit your life to Christ. He's saying, for the pagans run after all these things. They chase these things. They seek first all these things. But your heavenly Father knows that you need them, so you need to seek first. You need to run after. There is another option. You don't have to live like that. Just because it's been your experience and what you do every time there's crisis, it doesn't have to be like that. You have created a habit in your life, and habits can be broken. You have the power to do that. So here's another option that will benefit you because worrying hasn't added anything to you. But seek first, run after his kingdom and his righteousness. Oh, and by the way, when you do that, all these things will be given to you as well. You can consume your emotional energy and spend your time worrying, and it changes nothing. Or you can spend your energy and time trusting God and having faith in him. And that can change everything. So when you're tempted to borrow from tomorrow, look for a way to participate in what God's doing today. That's what we do, isn't it? We reach into tomorrow and we borrow the struggles, we borrow the pain, we borrow the issues, the things we think might happen, whatever you worry about the most, it's in tomorrow. You grab it. He's saying, don't smuggle your trouble. Don't bring all the things you're consumed. Don't reach into tomorrow and bring that into today. Therefore, do not worry about. And he's about to take every single thing you and I worry about and put it in one category, actually put it into one word. What is it that you worry about the most? We only have a few minutes. Some of you have a list. What is it you worry, the top two, top three? What is it you worry about the most? Therefore, do not worry about, and Jesus would say, I want you to think of it this way. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. He takes every single thing you and I worry about and puts it in the category, one simple word, we worry about tomorrow. It's not the surgery. It's how it's going to impact your life tomorrow. It's not your finances. It's what that's going to mean for how you have to live tomorrow. It's not what's happening with your child. It's what their life will look like, and as a result, yours also tomorrow. It's not your marriage, no matter what the struggle is. It's what that will look like tomorrow. Will it be better? Will it be worse? Will I even still be married? It's all about tomorrow. So take whatever it is. Jesus says, ultimately, what you're worried about is tomorrow. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. He's saying, don't worry. Your heavenly Father is with you today and will be waiting in your tomorrow. He is already present at a time that you're not yet. He is fully with you today, but he is also fully with you tomorrow. I don't feel his presence, and I don't sense him. And when I pray, I don't feel anything happening. Our kids, when they were younger, every now and then they would come downstairs and they would say, hey, I'm afraid. Would you come to my room with me and just hang out? Would you be in there? I'm afraid. And so often I'd walk them to their room and I'd say, okay, you go to sleep. It's all good. I'm here. It's fine. I remember on a couple occasions, a couple of our kids woke up in the morning and said, Dad, you weren't there. I woke up and you weren't there, and you knew I was afraid. But they had no idea that a couple of times during the night, I would quietly, which is hard to do on stairs. When we're on stairs and trying to be quiet, why do we raise our shoulders? Like that's going to make it lighter. I would quietly go up the stairs and go into their room. Just because they weren't aware of my presence doesn't mean I was not there. Some of you, the reason you're here today, beyond anything you can figure out, God just wanted to say to you, I'm with you, and I will be waiting in your tomorrow. Just as present, just as able. So let me ask you two questions. What if you believed that? I mean, what if you actually believed that? See, you get to choose. You can spend your focus and emotional energy and pour your life into worrying, or you can believe. How would it change your today if you believed that your Heavenly Father, the God who invited you, he doesn't just love you, he likes you. He wants to spend time with you. The God who invited you to call him Father is with you today and in your tomorrow. What if you actually believed that? Second question, why not believe that? How has worry worked for you? It's done nothing positive. In fact, moms and dads, if you're not careful, you can create a legacy of worry. You can teach your kids by what you say and your demeanor and even the atmosphere in your home when there's a coming potential crisis or a struggle that you're walking through because of what you say and how you act, you can teach your kids the same thing that some of you were taught, that, oh my gosh, it's time to worry. Can you imagine how your days would be changed if you believed that God, the Father, is with you and in your tomorrow? You owe it to yourself. You owe it to your family and those you love to begin to believe that. The bottom line is, will you choose trust or worry? You get to decide. Worry hasn't done anything for you. Trust, honestly, trust changed my life. So this is at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. At the end of his ministry, he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. I'm giving you my peace. I don't give the peace that the world gives. The peace that the world gives is when things turn out okay, you feel peaceful. When the marriage sort of rebounds, you feel peaceful. When the doctor gives you a better report than you anticipated, you feel peaceful. When you ace the exam that you were sweating buckshot over, you feel peaceful. I mean, that's the world. It's all circumstantial. He says, I'm going to give you something unique, something deeper, something you're going to need, because I know that you have a propensity to worry because you're human. I'm going to give you a peace that is so deep, it's going to be hard to wrap your mind around. But this kind of peace works even in your deepest pain. This peace is not subject to what you're going through. It's more powerful than what you're walking through. This kind of peace you can have, you can feel, you can sense, you can experience this kind of peace, not just in your great moments where you're relieved, but in your worst and darkest moments. Peace I leave with you, my peace, not just any peace. My peace that's beyond your circumstances, because I am with you today, but I am in your tomorrow. I give you. I do not give you as the world gives you. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. And then he was crucified. And the words that he spoke in that moment meant nothing, because they were troubled. And they were afraid. And they ran like cowards. Just like you and I probably would have. But then 3 days later, he got up. And he was alive again, and they saw him. And now the words that he spoke, they weren't meaningless. Now there was an exclamation point. He punctuated them. Now they meant something. Because if someone can predict their own death and resurrection, we believe what they say if they pull it off. So now when he says, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid, I know that he can see beyond what I can see. I know that because he died for me and rose again, he loves me with the kind of love I can't fully understand. I'm just grateful. And I know that worrying has bought me nothing, but trusting that changes everything. So how do you do it? How do you choose trust over worry? Three simple ways. And I want to encourage you to jot these down. Maybe put them in your phone. Or if you've got a sheet of paper, pen, pencil, lipstick, mascara, jot it down. Whatever you need to do, because I think this is going to help you this week. How do you not worry? First, begin your day declaring your trust. Open your eyes, and rather than running to fill in the blank whatever you're worried about, run to, seek first, your Father. Spend a few moments in prayer. And the things that are weighing on you, God, this is pressing in on me. Father, I have no idea how to figure this out. God, I don't know what's going to happen in my marriage with my kids, regarding my finances and my career, whatever it is. But I put it in your hands. And in spite of my feelings, I choose to trust you with this today. I'm not going to expend or waste energy worrying about things I can't do anything about. I'm going to trust you. Begin your day declaring your trust. See, the bigger your prayer is, the smaller your issues are. The smaller your prayers are, the bigger your issues are. Worry is prayer in reverse. What if you began each day? Just try it. I dare you. I double dog dare you. Just try it. Begin your day declaring your trust. Maybe you spend a few moments each day, get up 5 minutes earlier and turn to Matthew chapter 6, and maybe use a real Bible. I was spending my devotion time with God each day on my phone. And what I discovered, you know, on the Bible app, and what I discovered was I'd be trying to read the Bible and I'd start getting notices about texts or emails of things I needed to worry about. So I don't do that on my phone anymore. Get you a real Bible. They still print them. Get you a real Bible. In fact, if you don't have a Bible, we would love to give you one. We give them away every week. Just stop at the counter in the lobby, the resource center, and say, hey, I'd like a Bible. They'll give you one free. take a moment, get alone in a quiet place, and maybe you just want to turn to Matthew chapter 6 and begin in verse 25 and read these words out loud about worry. And then spend just a few moments declaring your trust. God, I'm going to, in spite of how I feel, trust you today. God, in spite of my fear, in spite of my uncertainty, I'm going to trust you today. You'll begin to shift your thinking pattern. Number two, relabel your worry. It's not called what you've been calling it. It's not the surgery. It's not your marriage. It's not your finances. It's tomorrow. Put it in the context that Jesus did. Father, it's tomorrow. And so I'm claiming the promise that you teach in Scripture. God, I'm choosing to believe. You do understand you get to choose what to believe. You do understand you can think beyond and bigger than your feelings. And you can lean into truth and faith. Father, it's tomorrow. Thank you that you're in my tomorrow. And when you're worried about tomorrow, number three, look for a way to participate in what God's doing today. Look for opportunities, because you know what you don't do when you're worried? Think about other people. When you're worried, you're consumed with you. When I'm worried, I'm consumed with me. When you're worried, you're not at work thinking about the person who works next to you that may be walking through a divorce, may be struggling with a child, may be dealing with emptiness and loneliness inside, may be to the point of despair. You're not even noticing that because you're consumed, spending your energy on something that's never going to help you. So when you're worried about tomorrow, look for a way to participate in what God's doing today. After you begin that time of prayer, maybe have a few moments of prayer, maybe pray for other people. And pray for C3. That would be awesome for our future. Pray for the lives that God is changing every week, the people that you don't even know their name, but because you pray, because you invest financially, because you invite, because you serve, lives are being touched. You don't even know their name. And when you become a part of other people's story, your life becomes bigger than just your story. Hey, your life and my life are far too insignificant to live focused just on that. God has invited us to be a part of a bigger story. And as I do that, as I pray for people, as I invite people to C3, as I watch God work in their circumstances, it increases my faith and gives me more confidence in my faith because I watch God work. You invite somebody to C3 and they come. There have been people I've invited to C3 that I've thought in my mind, this is pastor confession, I've thought in my mind, they'll never come. They're never going to walk in the doors of C3. And then they do. And you know what that does? It tells me that I can trust God. It tells me that God answers prayer. It increases my faith. Faith is one of those things, the more you give it away, the more you have it. So when you're worried about tomorrow, look for a way to participate in what God's doing today. Jesus said, therefore I tell you, do not worry. You can live like that. But the Father who loves you says, you don't have to. And he gives you another option. To trust. Would you pray with me this morning? Jesus, thank you so much for every single person in this room. Father, thank you that you love us. Even when it's hard for me to believe that you love me, the truth is you do. Father, I pray for every person in this room that is in a season of worry, that's battling with worry. God, help us to recognize it's a habit. It's our go-to. It's what we do because we've known nothing else, but now we know more and now we know better. I pray this week would be life-changing as we trust you each day, as we walk through these three steps each day, that you would begin to create a paradigm shift where we're no longer controlled by worry, but we're inspired and informed and led by faith. With heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe you're here this morning and one of the things you've worried about, sometimes the feeling is stronger, other times you're able to shove it aside, but one of the things you've occasionally worried about is you're not sure that you have a personal relationship with God. Hey, this morning you can resolve that. If that's where you are, I want to invite you. If the next step in your personal journey is to commit your life to Christ, I want to invite you to pray a very simple prayer. You can pray it out loud or you can pray it quietly in your heart. But this, if you don't know Christ, this could be your day when you begin a personal, intimate relationship with the one who invites you to call him Father. and you don't have to worry anymore. You can trust Him. If that's where you are, just pray this prayer. Dear God, thank you for loving me. Jesus, I invite you to come into my life. I commit my life to you. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Help me live for you. God, change the pattern in my life from worry to trusting you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for changing me. In Christ's name, amen.